come with me into the tormented, haunted, half-lit night of the insane. This is my work. Let me lead you into it. Let me take you into the mind of a woman.
Hi, and welcome to Beyond the Cabin in the Woods, a Good Ghouls Guide to Horror. I am your poltergeist, Kinsey.
I'm your poltergeist, Donna.
I'm your poltergeist, Mac.
And this week, we watched the brand spanking new film, The Watchers.
Spanking new is very generous, but keep going.
That's, you know, it's been out a week, so.
The pull quote on the TV spots from here on in. Quote, brand spanking new.
Fair warning, we are going to be in spoiler territory fairly quickly. So if you haven't seen it, or if you just don't care about being spoiled, you've been warned. So let's go around. Did you like it? Did you not like it? How did you see it? How was your theater experience?
My theater experience was fine. It was fine. I went to my favorite theater in Muskogee, where you can get the cheap popcorn. However, I put myself on a low carb diet, so I had to walk past the cheap popcorn regretfully. I deliberately didn't watch a trailer for this movie, so I knew very little about this movie going in, which actually I think was unfortunate because I spent a lot of time thinking I might have liked this movie if I hadn't been hit right off the bat with Mina and Lucy. I got hit right off the bat with Mina and Lucy, which meant I spent the whole movie looking for Dracula. I looked for Dracula the whole damn movie. And then a little later on, we get hit with, they can't come out in the sun. Aha! Aha!
Subtle. It's a subtle film.
There's no Dracula. There is no Dracula. Okay? Dracula does
That's
not appear
twist.
In this film.
It's a wide horror release in the year, in this decade, and Dracula's not in it. That is the twist.
Donna, so, I think you've just inadvertently titled my autobiography Looking for Dracula.
Dracula does not appear in this book. No. So then I spent a fair amount of time yesterday thinking, I wonder if I would have liked that film, if not for the names Mina and Lucy. And then I answered my own question as about the time I got into bed, I started going, what happened in that movie? It took me about 6 hours to forget the movie. So, no, I don't think I would have liked it if it hadn't been for Mina and Lucy. So I have many more things to say, but I can see Mac is almost bursting. So I will yield the floor to Mac.
My theater experience was fine. I went to Eaton, which has reopened. The thought of a theater closing and then reopening is a bulwark to my soul. It was the tail end of a weird marathon of movies. Like, I from Saturday to I guess it was Wednesday, I saw a movie in the theater every day, but this was the one that wasn't at Circle, so I felt a little bit like I was cheating on Circle. Well, and you know, the meme of like the distracted boyfriend, like Eaton announced they installed pinball machines that day, and so I was like, that's the perfect framework for the distracted boyfriend. Me, Circle, Eaton and installed pinball machines. They go to the James Bond one. It's a fun table. Anyway, theater, fine. Movie, not so good. Not so good. And I don't want to dismiss all of it. There's some good stuff in here. It's a very atmospheric film.
We'll concede.
Yes, the cinematography is more often than not quite good. The movie itself is
except
bad.
For the shots that made me check to see if I was still wearing my glasses.
Okay, fair. Yeah. But those were interesting. They kept you like engaged in it. You were thinking, what am I seeing? And that sort of thing. I think that was intentional to some degree. The movie itself is offensive in a weird way. We're in an age where Nepo babies are part of the discussion. And I don't think Ishana Shyamalan was going to be able to escape that at all. But she leaned into it real hard, too hard.
Mm-hmm.
If I were in her position and my father was a big time director and that afforded me the opportunity to direct a major motion picture, I would do everything in my power to stand out, to be different, maybe even make errors in pursuit of that quest for being different. But she made a movie like a very C-minus M. Night Shyamalan movie. I don't understand why you would do that. I at some point, I think we're going to be talking about the twist, and I thought I'd figured out the twist at some point. I'm like, oh, surely this lady is not going to do a twist movie. That would be insane. Now, I don't know if it's the studio that said, we need a Shyamalan movie if we're going to greenlight this, or if she just, it never occurred to her to not make a Shyamalan movie. It was just so disappointing. Dislike the movie, very much so. By the end. Yeah.
Theater experience was fine. Billy and I went Friday afternoon, actually to our local theater here in Owosso. There was us and one other nice little lady in the audience. You guys have kind of touched on a lot of the problems with this film. It's fine. It's, you know, it's one of those movies, if you have nothing else on to watch and it's hot outside, it's on, like, it's that type of movie. Like,
the air conditioning was on.
Yeah.
A plus experience.
Yeah. Like, it's definitely one of those type of movies. What I find interesting, and what I just, but not care enough to actually do research, the movie's based on a book. So how much is the twist her or the book? And I didn't care enough to do the research on it, but I thought that was kind of an interesting little takeaway from it, but it's fine. It's not great. You know, we're in summertime and it gets hot. So if you want to stay in and watch something, or you have it on in the background as you do, you know, laundry or chores, that's how I recommend it.
If the book has the twist and I got the opportunity to make the movie, I would not make the movie out of that book. Were I M. Night Shyamalan's daughter.
Well, and I've seen the book on a couple of different book talkers that I follow in the horror genre, and they really like the book. And like this, I guess there's a sequel coming out to the book that they're very excited about later this year. So, you know, that tells me is the book has got some good stuff in it. Now, am I going to seek the book out? No, but it just puts things in a different perspective.
Are they going to make a movie out of that sequel book? I don't think so.
Based on what I've seen, I don't think so. But for those of you that don't know what The Watchers is about, our good buddies at IMDb and Max Nemesis want you to know a young artist gets stranded in an extensive, immaculate forest in Western Ireland, where after finding shelter, she becomes trapped alongside three strangers stalked by mysterious creatures each night.
It's The Quiet Place of the Blarney Stone.
I wish you were wrong, Mac.
I do too. I like to like movies. I made the note, like, oh God, they really should not have put the trailer for The Quiet Place Day One in front of this, because I'm now like weirdly keyed into how quiet placey these fairies are. Just, they make the same kind of noises, they're going for the same kind of jump scares. The more I think about it, the less I like the movie. So let's keep talking.
So as far as duplicating M. Night Shyamalan, I know different people agree, but in my opinion, M. Night Shyamalan made one good movie, and that was Sixth Sense.
Yeah, okay. No. That's what I assumed was the case, but
yeah. And now I want to emphasize that when The Sixth Sense came out, I was in vet school and I was not consuming media in any format because I was in vet school. So I had not seen any trailers. I had not heard any buzz. The point being, I didn't know there was a twist. And I mention that because I'm one of those people who spoils the ending of things for people. When I go, oh, it was him, and he did this thing where he left her driver's license, and then the cops off, and then it was, but they catch him at the end because he did this. I'm one of those people. Okay, so I feel like if I had known there was a twist, I would have known the ending of the why do I keep, oh, because we talked about The Quiet Place. I would have known what was coming in The Sixth Sense, because I did pick up a lot of the clues. I kept going, man, that guy likes to wear gray all the time. And, you know, I noticed that there were rare flashes of red, and I noticed that nobody ever talked to him but the kid. I noticed all those things. I just didn't put them together into the, anyway, the point being, when the twist arrived for The Sixth Sense, it blew my damn mind. I think I probably had my mouth dropped open. And it was one of my favorite moments that have ever occurred in cinema, that it took me by such surprise. And I mention this only because that didn't happen in this movie.
Mm-mm.
There was a twist, yes. And I was kind of like, all right.
Yeah.
Well, and the twist is telegraphed. Like, it is so telegraphed. And I get she was trying to be coy by, you know, okay, we're watching video footage of the professor talk about what he's going to do, what's going to happen, which we're in spoiler territory. The twist is the mysterious creatures are changelings, and they're mimicking humans. And, like, it's getting into a lot of folklore with fairies and humans. And honestly, I mean, I dig folklore, so this should have hit differently. It should have for me, because I like stuff like that, and it completely missed. And he is talking about how he has caught one of the changelings and is going to go kill them. And you don't see a body on screen, basically. And so it's like, well, yeah, that changeling survived.
Yeah. And it turns out to have been one of the humans that have been in the weird Twilight Zone-y cage that they've all been in, which
I want to add on real quick to what Kenzie said, please. That we, as a person of Irish descent, we don't get a lot of Irish folklore movies, which is another, sure. I wanted to like this movie. I really, really, it's set in Ireland. We've got all these delightful Irish accents. It's Irish folklore. God damn, I wanted to like this movie.
She didn't send it in Philadelphia. I mean, I thought she was really going to be like, Dad, get out of here. I'm going to go make a picture. But no.
I mean, she made a picture. She just picked up his blueprints and just went bloop, 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 and carried it across the pond.
Yeah. So I feel like I've been a little bit robbed.
Yeah. I think a lot of the discussion about this movie, not just on this podcast, but generally, is tied to how people feel about Shyamalan. Like, if they don't like the movie, it's because they haven't liked Shyamalan's movies in general. I would say I'm in the middle ground of that. I have disliked some of his movies over the years. I have liked some of his movies over the years. I love Unbreakable. I'd almost put Unbreakable above Sixth Sense, but, you know,
I think
Kenzie might be with me on that one.
Unbreakable hits me differently just because of what it is. And I think they did Unbreakable dirty in the marketing. I think if they would have been a little bit more forefront on what it was about, I think it wouldn't have had the backlash that it did.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, we, you know, we liked The Sixth Sense when it came out, and we, you know, and when Unbreakable came out and started hearing reviews, we were like, oh no, that doesn't sound good. It took a friend of ours basically explaining it as a comic book origin movie. And we were like, oh, okay. And then having that context and watching it, really liked it. I really enjoy, of his later films, I really enjoy Split, because McAvoy and Anna Taylor-Joy, like,
very good.
Very good. Excellent. He's got a new movie coming out this summer called Trap.
There was a trailer for it on this movie. And I was like, oh man, Trap looks dope as hell.
Yeah. So I think he has things to say. I think I really think you guys are hitting it on the head with the Nepo baby stuff. Yeah. And, but
I gotta be honest, I've kind of quit watching his films, because I just got so irritated with the, aha, here's the twist. It was set in modern day times all along. And I was like, I hate the village.
Yeah.
I knew that. I never thought it wasn't set in modern day times. What are you talking about, dude?
He had a real lull there. And I think The Visit was good. Glass, it was quite good. Split was good. Glass was actually kind of crappy when he tried to bring all the Unbreakable elements together. I was like, oh man, I'm here for this movie.
Same.
What? What?
Same.
What? Okay.
I mean, you guys hate The Village more than I do, and that is totally fine. The one that I cannot stand is Lady in the Water. Like, I just, oh man.
That's where I checked out. Like, after The Village, I was like, okay, you're going to have to convince, because I'm looking at his list here. I did not see Lady in the Water, The Happening, Last Airbender, or After Earth. And I only came back in for The Visit. So I missed 10 years of Shyamalan.
Yeah. And see, and we haven't done The Visit, and we didn't do, of course, we didn't do After Earth or The Last Airbender, because that wasn't really kind of our thing. Yeah. The Happening we saw, that was a bad choice as well. Oh, oof. I have no words for that one. But then came back with Split, because it's like, okay. So it's good to hear that The Visit's good, because I'm...
Yeah, it's been a couple of years, but I remember enjoying The Visit. I was like, oh, they knocked M. Night down a little bit, and he's having to work with a smaller movie, and I think that's better for him. He needs a little more restrictions.
Well, and I've heard Old's pretty good. Like, Old's the other one I've heard that's
I had not seen it. After Glass, I was back like, I don't know, Night. And then we watched Knock at the Cabin last year for this.
Yeah.
And it was okay.
Yeah.
It didn't really have a twist necessarily, as I remember, like the traditional last 5 minutes of the movie, wait, what? Kind of moment.
I think so. That's one. And I know we talked about it on the show. I think that's one because he changed. There is a big aspect of the book that he changed, which would have been his normal twist. Mm. And I think that's why.
Yeah, I remember talking about that. It looked like the whole movie was pushing towards one thing.
Right.
And then right at the end, they went a different direction, which may have been M. Night trying to twist. But I'm like, dude, you kept pointing us this direction.
Yes, I remember that. You were upset about that, that everything was pointing towards something. And then it was not just a misdirect. It was a fake out, which is
I don't know that I was full on upset, but I was definitely irritated.
I remember you mentioning it. It's what I meant to say.
Okay, we can quit ragging on M. Night now.
I mean, some of his creations are directly responsible for this, so I think it's it's part of the evidence.
The prosecution has not yet rested. Yeah. Okay,
yeah, Your Honor. So Donna, I gotta just tell you, I'm so glad you also caught the whole Mina and Lucy thing, because that is like my second note on here is their names. And so once again, your friend and Kinsey here looking for Dracula, not finding Dracula.
The only two people in the theater were behind me and to my left. And so I really didn't take hardly any notes because I was using my phone. And the only note I took was Mina and Lucy !!! That was my only note.
Yeah.
I had a different reaction to the sisters. They were saying, oh, my sister and all that. And I'm like, oh, Elle Fanning's going to be in this movie. She's a delight. She was great in Super 8. She was great in The Great. It was helpfully labeled that way. That's perfect casting. Who are we going to get to play Dakota Fanning's sister? Oh, wait, I know. And then it's just bad split screen of two Dakotas. Like, come on, man.
She's right there.
Yeah.
She's right there.
I have to confess, I didn't realize it was a Fanning until I looked at IMDb. And then I went, oh, it's a Fanning. Of course it's a Fanning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another off that subject. I don't know if everyone does this or if it's just my ear. But, you know, there were all these beautiful accents and I've noticed this because I watch a lot of British TV. If I hear an American accent surrounded by all these accents, I don't notice. I don't notice that they don't have an accent because it just sounds like a normal voice to me. And I don't notice, oh, that one has no accent. So it wasn't until somebody said to her, oh, you're an American, that it registered to me that she didn't have an accent.
And see, I thought that was a little heavy-handed, you know, on the part of, like, pointing out she's an American. Like, just, like, having her having problems with the car, having, you know, the scene in the bar that we didn't need. Like,
right.
Like I just
now,
felt.
I will defend the scene in the bar because one of her character points is that she kind of, you know, she doesn't follow the rules. She rebels and we, you know, she's a bad girl and we got to see that from the beginning. And I think that was a bit clumsy, but nonetheless there to show us that, hey, this girl has some issues. That I think that was the whole point of that scene.
Okay.
There's a lot clumsy in this movie as I think about it now. Like I'm actually semi into the movie for about the first half. And then once all the people are together in the coop, the dialogue gets real bad, real quick. I'm blanking on some of the characters' names, but like, I have to go help my husband. Like, we understand he's your husband. Like, I gotta go was all you needed there. And then might be spoiling our twist ending here on this podcast, but they uncover the carpet and one of the characters says, it's a door. Yeah, it is. Thank you.
And she's drawn all over that fucking floor.
Right. Yeah. That's my, that's like, how did you just like, oh, can't touch the rug.
Can't move that rug. They might get mad.
Oh no, the watchers don't want us to rearrange furniture. They have a feng shui going on. That was a rule that got cut for time. We have to be in before we can't move the furniture. So I didn't know what I was expecting the Watchers to be. Like, I thought aliens, I thought bird people. I was like, well, maybe that's a thing. Let's say it's going to be bird people because, like, there's a, it's very bird heavy with, like, the coop and then Darwin, like, and then the birds sweeping in to get you, like, or you, I don't know. It just, it was very bird coated. And I don't know if that's a thing.
And when I wasn't looking for vampires, I was looking for giant birds of prey.
Yeah. Sorry, Donna, that is not going to not be funny to me, this whole episode of looking for vampires. I'm just...
No, right up to the end, there Dracula was going to whoop show up. Maybe that's what was under the door.
You know, what Donna, that might have improved my ranking of this film if that had happened. It's like, oh, that really was a twist, and you didn't tell me. Oh, hold on, let me make sure I'm.
Let's rewrite this ending.
Let me. I would have freshened up before I came to the movie.
Listen, Shyamalan Jr. Let's rewrite this third act.
Yeah, hey.
Now, I will say this, because we've been dunking pretty hard on this film. I did enjoy the tension with the husband, and I'm doing air quotes here, at the door trying to get in. And the footage
now, are you sure he was her husband?
I don't know.
They weren't real clear on the relationship between those two.
Well, no, she called him her husband. She did say, that's my husband. A lot of times, Donna. I mean, a lot.
Too many.
Enough times, though?
well. I'm also confused by when they finally got off the island, there wasn't really more of a hubbub about these missing people turning up and not all of the missing people turning up. They kind of all just went home like it was the end of a long weekend.
Oh, well, welcome back.
Well,
good to have you.
Gotta get back to work on Monday. And I'm a widow now, so what are you gonna do?
And by the way, the zoo really wanted this bird, but you go ahead and keep him.
Right. Yeah. I'm a white American girl. This is mine now, yes?
Damn it.
So should we talk about Madeline?
Mm-hmm.
She's gorgeous. She's really striking. Okay, just thought I'd throw that out.
No, that her white hair, like, I love that. Like, I think that is, like, it's beautiful. So I concur with you on that she's very striking. So
my first impression of her was that she was really presented to us in a way to be kind of we were supposed to be a little ambivalent of her because she looks witchy.
Okay.
That long white hair and those kind of angular features.
And that knowing quality. She's the witch that lives in the woods. Yeah.
Okay.
She is the witch that lives in the woods. And she definitely looks like she's not telling you everything she knows.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't witch code her, but I can see that.
But she was, according to the story we were given, she was the first one there. She says she went there of her own choice. She's the one who knows the rules. She's the one who gets super angry when the rules are broken.
So, hear me out. She didn't lie. She was the first one there. She probably did go there by her choice. Of course she's not going to like the rules being broken. I mean, she didn't lie.
I would have to go see this movie again to check if she lied, and I'm not going
to
do that.
No, I don't want you to, Donna, and I'm not going to advocate you to. But
I would say that's a very fey quality, to not lie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
the context of the mythology is actually done fairly well. Yeah.
It is. So, you know, there's the twist.
Yeah.
She's not a human.
What? Oh, no.
The twist was M. Night was directing all along. He doesn't have a daughter at all.
It just looks really good in a dress, wouldn't it?
Right.
Hey.
Who knew?
Hey.
Do what you need to do, Em.
Not mad at you.
So, no, I do want to talk about, I don't want to talk about Madeline Moore because we're going to talk about Madeline Moore.
Yeah, we've got more Madeline on deck.
One of their problems was a lack of DVDs, and I did like a harrowing horror situation where I could be of some assistance.
They did have a crushing lack of DVDs, and I will say that I would most definitely prefer silence
over reality TV.
Yeah.
Over what? You know, I might give that a watch once.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'd give that a watch once, and then I would be like, no, man, I know who wins. Break that fucking DVD. We're not watching that again. I might be bored enough, but.
Other stuff was just nitpicky type stuff. Like the computer was very much a 90s kind of computer. And it was clear that she was using like a click wheel on the mouse. And I was like, the click wheel mouses didn't come with the old computers. It was just, you had the two buttons and you had to fucking make do.
It's very true. We suffered. We suffered in the 90s.
We did.
You had to click on the little arrow there and make it go down. It, how we got
both
out
ways uphill.
Yeah. How we got out of the 20th century, I'll never know.
It was a struggle.
We had to pass Y2K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The world was going to end, young people.
Yeah. And then it kind of did. Like, really everything that's happened since the year 2000 has been kind of fucked up.
I mean,
maybe Y2K was just a slow burn.
Maybe the world did end and we're in purgatory.
What a twist.
I just wanted to point out to everybody, because this is perhaps the most delightful thing about this film. There is a voice actor for Darwin. His name is Joel
Figueroa.
Yes. I should have practiced that name before I tried to say it, but Mac got it.
I'm now just thinking of the Alan Tudyk story about him talking about him voicing the chicken in Moana, going, I went to Juilliard for this. And so when you said Darwin has a voice actor, I'm just thinking of that guy going, I went to Juilliard, or the equivalent of.
Or I think I did this off my head. He called his mom like, hey, mom, I got a part in a movie. Doesn't matter who, but it's a Shyamalan movie. No, not that Shyamalan.
There's another, to be completely off topic, there's another video of Alan Tudyk talking about, they basically throw various lines from his various movies at him and see if he can recognize what character it was. And some of them are just like, they throw the
And we shall call this land. Mm-hmm. They throw this land, that line at him. And like, everybody knows that line. Of course, Alan Tudyk knows that line. But he starts talking about some of the robots that he's played. He's played a couple of robots. And he talks about, at Juilliard, they teach you how to move and walk. And used to, it was a very robotic way of walking. So that came in handy. And it was kind of funny. He's like, they don't do that anymore, but they used to teach you to move very robotically, and that worked. So, but that has nothing to do with this
nothing.
Film.
Because it was delightful. But
it was delightful. It
absolutely nothing to do with this movie.
But yeah, Alan Tudyk did not voice Darwin.
No.
No.
For, you know, that one line.
No.
Little Shit was a good one, too. You Little Shit was a good line that he said occasionally.
Well, and I thought there was going to be something eerie with the bird because the bird picked up human speech too quickly.
Yeah.
Like the way birds only do it after repetition. And yeah.
And by the way, Conyers do talk.
Once again, bird people. I thought it was going to be bird people.
Yeah.
So I don't know about Golden Conyers specifically, but Conyers in general do talk. There's some content creator that puts up a lot of Conyer content, and Conyers talk a lot.
Okay. Well, I think that is going to be our cue to let's
bring this in for a landing.
I think we've said it all. Quote wise, so we didn't have a ton of quotes at all between the three of us. Even our best friend IMDb kind of failed us.
Yeah.
With the quotes. I think the only other quote we had besides the one we landed on was, I thought you said they couldn't talk. But Mac has our quote.
Try not to die. I did it birdie, I guess. I'm going to live with it. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
That's pretty good. Yeah. It was good.
Yeah. That's fine. Rule wise, this is, we definitely have touched on this. Didn't also, we had more suggestions regarding, the actual making of the film,
yeah,
which didn't apply to actually this film, but the rule.
I alluded to my rule early in this podcast.
You did. And it, yeah. And actually, we technically talked about your rule suggestion when we started talking
about
it.
There was no illusion. I said it. Just don't do this.
Yeah. Don't copy your dad. But the rule for this film is check under the rug. If there's a rug, check under the rug. Because you can't tell me that reality TV was so riveting that you're not moving furniture.
Because there might be a door under it. Hey, look, everybody, a door.
And you're not having to go outside to, like, hope you're not finding poison food to eat or, like, strangling one of your people because they can't catch a bird. Anyway. Poll-wise, now, we didn't have a... once again, not a ton of suggestions here. And what we landed on was, when did you figure out the Madeline twist? Which we've been talking about Madeline. So.
I actually even time coded it on mine. It was an hour in.
An hour in, you figured it out with her?
Yeah. And I was hoping that it wouldn't be true. It was a very similar experience to The Village, where I was like, aha, let's hope not. But
I was pretty confident something was going on with Madeline pretty early, at the point that she stepped ahead of everyone when they were attacking the glass. I knew something was going on with her, I knew she was colluding some way. She had something going on with the Watchers. At that point, as far as what it was, I don't know. Until Mina read the scroll at the professor's office, that was when I was like, oh, okay, that's what she is. So I knew something was up pretty early, but as far as what it was, not until pretty close to the end.
So as we watch these horror films in general, I am becoming painfully aware, despite in my brain, of aspirations of being final girl material. I am not final girl material, because with Madeline, I was like, oh, here's somebody that has knowledge. I'm going to trust her. Is she witch coded? Yes. But do I like witches? Absolutely. So I'm going to trust the nice woman with the strikingly white hair to follow her rules, and all is well. And so, yeah, it wasn't until we saw the picture that when Dakota is in the office, in the professor's office, reading everything, and the picture shows up, I'm like, oh. And then everything gets put back together, like the video, the all of it. I was like, oh, she's a changeling. So, yeah, I was whatever that timestamp is, that's when I figured it out. So I'm learning a lot about myself as we go through these films here. It's some interesting work.
I have known for a very long time that I am the scientist who will refuse to believe and will die very early. That will be my fate.
I mean, Donna, if it makes you feel better, I will stick up for you. Because once again, there's someone that knows what's going on, and I'm going to back your play.
I'm not the scientist who will warn of the danger, unless it's a scientific danger. If it's a scientific danger, I'm that scientist. If it's the scientist who refuses to believe, I'm that scientist.
Hey, Mac, I've got this bird I've got to get delivered. Are you interested in overtime? No. Credits.
You got to drive through that forest that nobody ever comes out of.
They lost me at overtime. It doesn't even matter.
They don't even give Mac the map is what he's saying. They hear overtime and he's like, nope.
Nope. Nope.
Nope.
Okay. But. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That would be my, if my job came to me, I have this bird to deliver. Are you interested in overtime? No, you should have opened with, are you interested in overtime? Because the answer was no.
But here's the thing. I got to tell you a secret. Back when I was working as a veterinary technician, my very, very, very favorite job was to go develop x-rays. Because to go develop x-rays, I had to go in the dark room and shut the door and lock it. Because no one could bother me for the length of time it took those x-rays to develop. You can't open the door or you'll ruin the x-rays.
And I'd be up for that assignment, but it's the overtime where they lose me. Like,
I'm thinking, you want me to drive this bird somewhere? That is however many hours in a car where no one can bother me.
Yeah.
And then you give me money. I'm pretty excited about that. Now, unless I had plans, you know, if I had plans, which might have just been sitting on my couch, I don't know. But I am looking at hours.
I've got plans. I got to go see M. Night Shyamalan's Daughter's movie. Come on.
Hours of no one being able to bother me. I'm pretty excited about that. And money. So there's a fair bet I would take that job. Just because you're going to leave me alone for however long that drive was. And yes, if there was ever a, will someone go develop these films? Me! I also got to sit down, which was sometimes the first time I got to sit down for like 3 hours. Yes. Okay, I'm done now.
Done. Okay. Do we have anything else before we move on to Happy Place?
Yes, now we have digital x-rays. The digital x-rays are fantastic.
I was like, do they develop film anymore? Yeah, that was my question, but no. I stalled it.
As a veterinarian, digital x-rays are fantastic. The little vet tech who lives in my heart is deeply disappointed about this development. Okay, now I'm done.
Okay. So this week I was kind of having a problem coming up with what my happy place was. And Editor Billy kind of, he pointed out, he goes, well, happy place, it doesn't have to be something specific. If it's some, you know, just an overall theme, something that you think of that always makes you happy. And that really unlocked, I guess, my mental block of happy place this week. And so that being said, what my happy place is I can always have unhinged fandom conversations with my Debbie. Previously unhinged tangents that we have both went on is one when I started watching Next Generation for the first time. So I would send her pictures and just my thoughts of the episode right then and there. Kylux memes that we would share and talk about. And currently, she has asked for Baldur's Gate 3 updates about mine and Editor Billy's shenanigans, which also has now turned into she gets Baldur's Gate 3 memes, regardless that she hasn't played the game or not. So yeah, that is my happy place.
My happy place is going to be both a happy place and a public service announcement. There is a delightful little app that you can get on your phone called Finch. It comes up with little daily affirmations. Finch is just your little bird friend.
What a twist.
You put on there your little like goals for the day, and some of them can be like affirmations. Like once a week, it comes up and asks me to think about why a loved one loves me.
Okay.
And I can put on there that I need to drink water, I need to do some schoolwork, you know, that kind of thing. And as an adult with untreated ADHD, it is actually the first app I've tried, and I've tried a lot of apps, that actually does continue to work because it kind of gamifies it, and it's fun, and I kind of can't help but believe this little pixelated bird loves me. I kind of can't. It's kind of got a Tamagotchi thing going on. Anyway, I like Finch very much, and I recommend it. And I need some friend codes, by the way. I need a friend on Finch. I don't have any friends on Finch, so I need some friends on Finch. So I'm really pleased that I have found Finch, and I'm really hoping that it will continue to work for me because I gave them money. You don't have to give them money. It can be a free app, but I enjoyed it enough. I gave them money. So there's that. And also school has started and I'm really enjoying my class this summer. They are good kids.
Yeah.
I was struggling to come up with one, not because I was unhappy in any particular way, but just there wasn't anything to focus in on that. I guess I got kind of a two-part one. A year ago was the massive blackout, so it's Father's Day and the lights are on. So I'm going to don't have to live a week in that way. And then I'm looking at our schedule. Like, we're kind of ambivalent about this movie, but it's a bunch of bangers for a good solid 2 months here. The Wicker Man, New Nightmare, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, Monster Squad, Alien Romulus. If that movie ain't good, I don't understand what's wrong with the world, because that trailer is... Hi-ya!
That trailer is dope as hell.
Yes. And then Silence of the Lambs, and then Beetlejuice right after that. And I'm like, I'm not sure if Beetlejuice is going to be good, but I am excited about it. So we got good solid 2 or 3 months of solid stuff up ahead.
I saw a trailer for Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that trailer was all like, hey, all you people that remember Beetlejuice, here's your nostalgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It hit that nostalgia button hard, and I'm here for it.
Look at the little village in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good trailer.
I mean, not like I haven't been hurt by Michael Keaton legacy sequels recently, so I'm sure it'll be fine. Anyway,
so I will say this: I read an interview with him a couple of days ago, in fact, and his one condition for coming back for this was he has to have the same amount of screen time as he did in the original, which right. I thought that was like super smart. And just, I was like, oh, so you know.
Yep.
So, yeah,
I have hope, but it's not like I haven't been hurt before.
But I know which one you're talking about. I don't count that one just because it wasn't billed as Batman 89, for lack of a better phrase.
Right.
I know which one you're talking about. And the scenes he was in. Whew,
hey.
Hey. Whew.
Yeah. No, there's a third of a movie in there that is A+. And this one has a lot of Burton's directing. Granted, Burton hasn't really directed a great movie in 30 years. So,
yeah.
You know, here's hoping. It's going to be good. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Baldwin and Gina Davis aren't in it, though, right?
No.
Because they've moved on.
Yeah.
That's the theory. We haven't seen exactly the context of them not being there, but that would be the best bet. Yeah.
So who's going to protect? Jenna Ortega doesn't need anyone to protect her.
And neither does Winona Ryder.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can find us on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. We're Beyond the Cabin in the Woods. Our website and Blue Sky username is beyondthecabininthewoods.com. I am on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky as at Callista77.
You can find me on Blue Sky at dragongoblin.com and on Instagram at dragongoblin. There's no I in goblin. I don't really post a lot, but I'm there.
Same.
Yeah, same for me. For somebody who's involved with multiple podcasts, I am surprisingly offline. I do post occasionally on whenever you, dear listener, are listening to this, the social media platform of choice at that moment, I am Party Apocalypse there, whether it's at Party Apocalypse or, you know, whatever it is. Look for that. You'll find me. And I'm not posting that much, probably, because the future is the past and time is a flat circle. But partyapocalypse.com has this podcast and other fine podcasts, including The Holodeck is Broken with Laura Harris and Canyon and myself. And the three of them also co-host Disorganized, a Criminal Minds podcast. There's full runs of The Fourth Wall, As the Myth Turns, and Friendable's Two Friends Talking About Hannibal Lecter, books, blogs, movie reviews, and nothing else. No twist.
No twist. As always, thank you to our editor, Billy. We do appreciate everything you do for us. You make us sound fantastic and professional. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Billy. We love you.
And thank you for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us if you aren't doing so already.
And don't read the Latin.
You know what horror is?